This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Do appreciate Jeff Collins taking the time of a busy schedule to hang out with us for an hour. He's a trip. Got a lot going on in the ATL.
Fuller's got a birthday cake.
Fuller's been loading up on, this is his second piece. So he's good.
Fuller, that's his second piece of cake?
Yeah.
All right, there you have it.
It's all about pace, Wes.
It is.
It's all about pace.
Yeah.
All right, 844-SAY-ACCN. But you can see how people are excited about Jeff Collins, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you'd never dealt with him, heard of him, all that stuff, and you just listened to the last hour, watched the last hour of the show.
All the way from the Upper East Stands at Grant Field at Bobby Dodd, seeing kid games as a kid, and then he wants to be the coach. And the thing I like and the thing I find fascinating, and you do too, because I can tell it's right in your wheelhouse, is the connection he makes with ideas and branding and culture and marketing and, you know, the we joke about it. Everybody laughs when you always say nothing happens till something gets sold.
It's the truth.
But that's what he's selling.
That's right.
And so, obviously something's happening because he's selling something.
That's
and
right.
That's good for Georgia Tech. And again, I think they're certainly, I think they are a team you can contend with in the Coastal, in a wide open Coastal. There are going to be some favorites and going to be some that have a little bit more maybe under the hood out of the preseason. And it's going to be interesting to watch unfold.
And he's still building. I mean, let's get in the real world too. I mean, with what he inherited, the change in the way they're going to play, this is just he set the foundation last year. Now he's building from recruiting, and the recruiting class based on past history is outstanding. But you can see how he can walk into a living room and sell, number one, a great academic institution, which is a given.
Right.
But also the vision of what he wants to do with his football program. And he loves the school. I mean, it's infectious just hanging out with him, listening to him talk for an hour about a number of issues. And, you know, the mental health issue too, while we're having fun cutting up and eating and the outfits on stuff, the importance of the mental health issue.
Yep.
Which Georgia Tech has been really at the forefront from. Is really incredibly important. And it just goes, again, to show you that, hey, wins and losses are certainly important. That's why we keep score. But, you know, the benefit of the student athlete getting a degree, getting into society, functioning as a good parent, adult, whatever the case may be, whether you play in the NFL or the NBA, Major League Baseball, or whatever you do, selling insurance. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
But that's what they're selling, and they're doing a nice job, no question.
All right, let's get to one stat per game. It's a big weekend of ACC basketball. Separation weekend in the Glob.
I don't know if I'd say separation. And we learn something new every week, right? And the Glob continues to ebb and flow. And we've seen teams like NC State and Syracuse and Virginia Tech, you know, kind of ebb and flow in terms of the top of the Glob, hoping to bust through to join the likes of the Florida States and Dukes and Louisville. So we'll see where it goes.
Two teams meet at noon tomorrow toward the bottom. And that would be Miami and their visit to Chapel Hill to meet North Carolina. High noon is the game on ESPN2. Carolina's had the lead in 3 of 5, including the other night in Blacksburg, Pack.
Double digits.
Yep.
And that's the other thing. The double-digit leads have gotten away, including in Blacksburg, where they're up 12 in the second half, even up 5 in overtime, and are not able to close the deal. We still don't know the Cole Anthony situation. We'll have to wait and see on that. But I told you earlier, Wes, Miami's had a hard time. They've been good at times in terms of spurts. They've had a tough time defending the rim. I wonder if North Carolina's size tomorrow inside makes a difference in the game as North Carolina tries to win their first game of this decade, as crazy as that sounds.
Also on the docket tomorrow, Clemson visits the Yum Center. Louisville stretched the other night against Georgia Tech. Cards were able to hold on and win, but the Tigers 0-6 when scoring fewer than 60, 10-2 when they score at least 60.
Seems to be an easy number to circle, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm also interested to see how Louisville responds at home, Wes. Georgia Tech was on the road, pushed them to the brink the other night, right? A game that had crazy ebbs and flows. Louisville sitting there on the top with Florida State and Duke. This is where you must hold serve. And if you're Clemson, boy, what a huge win this could potentially be as far as big picture. And, of course, the Tigers have been playing good basketball.
Tigers are in that group tied for seventh at 4-4, and you know the Cards are in the top three.
The middle of the Glob.
Ooh. Virginia Tech, Boston College, tomorrow at Chestnut Hill. The freshman from Sumter, South Carolina, C.J. Felder, huge upside on this young prospect, is the only Eagle, by the way, to appear in every game He's averaging about 6 points a game, playing better than 20 minutes a contest. Great recruiting story from Scott Spinelli, Jim Christian's top assistant on C.J. Felder. It was one of those sleepy early summer mornings, and there was a ball game pack that Spin tells me started about 7:45 in the morning. And he said, the guy was a monster at 7:50. Hmm. I said, the game starts at 7:45 in the morning. He said, Felder came onto our radar when we saw him at 10 minutes to 8 on a summer morning play like he'd been playing all day.
How about that?
And I said, you just like the energy? He said, the energy was the first thing we noticed. And he's got a tremendous upside.
And the flip side of that, too, is Virginia Tech coming off the emotional double overtime home win against North Carolina. Again, Coach Young and his guys have done a great job looking to steal another one on the road.
Yep.
This is how you get in that upper tier of the glob, man. Got to keep winning games like this.
Speaking of home and road, our next game is NC State at Georgia Tech. Jackets won the first meeting on opening night in the league in overtime at PNC in Raleigh. No Markell Johnson, no DJ Funderburk that night for the Pack. But Georgia Tech is winless in four ACC games. And Georgia Tech wouldn't be favored in a home ACC game until February 25th at this point. However, they've won three times on the road, Pack.
Makes no sense. You know, same thing with Notre Dame. They haven't been able to take care of business at home in ACC play. I mentioned to you earlier, Wes, this is a dangerous game. I think if you're NC State, you cannot look ahead to North Carolina on Monday. That's right. It's a back-to-back week. So NC State plays Saturday. Then on Monday, you got the rival game with North Carolina. You can't look ahead. NC State's been playing extremely good basketball, a monster win on the road at Virginia. And as you mentioned, they are getting healthy. And a healthy NC State team, I think, is a really good team.
Speaking of near misses, Notre Dame had one the other night at home against Syracuse, and now they go big game hunting at the Tucker Center. Sellout house for Florida State and the Noles. Unbelievable. 4-0 at home this year. Notre Dame looking to become the first team in the series to earn a victory on the opponent's home floor, by the way.
Well, the Noles have been good against everybody at home. We talked about who's got the best home court advantages earlier this week on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you may think of Cameron Indoor, maybe going to Louisville or Virginia or Smith Center or whatever you want. But you look up the numbers and you'll find out, holy mackerel, man, Florida State doesn't lose at home. Leonard Hamilton doesn't have a good team. He has a great program.
All right. A couple more to go. How about Sunday at noon? The Deacons will welcome the Cavaliers to the Joel Coliseum in Winston-Salem. You'll see that ball game here on ACC Network. Virginia 4-4 this season after being 33-3 in the ACC in conference play over the last 2 years. And a tough loss the other night at home to NC State for Tony Bennett's team, who now goes to Winston-Salem to meet a Wake team that was impressive last Sunday night against Boston College. And then by all accounts, Pack, had Clemson on the ropes Tuesday night at Little John.
Wake played extremely well in Little John. They really dominated the game for the first 30 minutes, had a double-digit lead, couldn't figure out a way to close, which seems to be a growing trend amongst not just ACC teams, but teams in general. They did not take care of business down the stretch, but Wake Forest has pieces that can score, Wes. And when you play Virginia, here's two things you know. They're going to play great defense, and you hope they don't shoot the ball well.
Yeah.
Right. If you're playing against them. But if Virginia shoots the ball well, they're going to win the game. If they don't, I think that game could be close.
And our coverage of ACC basketball here on ACC Network starts tomorrow at noon. We'll be at the Dome in Central New York for Pittsburgh and Syracuse. Mike Waters was with us earlier talking about how both teams have momentum. How about this little simple number? The Orange are undefeated when they shoot at least 77.8% from the free throw line, 6-7 when they don't, Pack.
You know what that stat tells me? People have way too much time on their hands. That's what that stat tells me. But you'll hear Wes Durham use that one tomorrow, though. I guarantee you.
I don't know.
Huh? That won't make the rotation?
It might not.
So when we see a stat in the second half that Syracuse
you might see that one
is 8 of 10 from the line, you don't think that might pop up?
That might. By the way, how does that number work for the index card? How's that?
You want to know the index
77.8 and 6-0.
That's not an index. That's not how the index card works.
I know
works.
That, but how does Syracuse work in the index card? How do they
you
do
want
it?
To look?
I'll see.
You want a sample?
Well, we got a moment. We got a couple minutes here before Greenberg joins us.
Let me see if
from
I got
Lawrence, Kansas.
Let me see if I got Syracuse in the top of one of these lists here. Oh, I do.
Oh.
Free throw attempts.
Yeah.
More than your ACC opposition when you play them. Number one in the league, Syracuse. There you go. You can write that down in ink in one of your multicolored pencils. Plus 24 for the boys from the Orange. Plus 24 for Syracuse.
On the index card?
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two would be Virginia Tech at 20. Guess who's three? Because you'll write this down in ink, too. Pitt. So number one and number three in the league to the positive.
On the index card?
Yep. In free throw attempts in conference play.
What'd you say Pitt was?
20.
Oh.
No, Pitt's 18.
Plus 18?
24.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. One and three.
We got an index card showdown tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just.
I tell you what, I'm going to have.
Will there be an infamous ACC index card?
No.
Why? Are you afraid? Are you scared?
I like my work.
You're afraid of it, aren't you? You are afraid to tempt fate.
I am.
No.
But you know what else?
You got to risk things.
I got to tell you something. If people follow at Mark Packer tomorrow on Twitter, there's a chance that he will give you the Pitt Syracuse index card information.
I just gave it to him.
I know, but you might give it to them during the game.
Oh, so you can write it down?
No, so you can tell everybody.
Well, I'm going to tell
you.
Kind of
like having a second screen for the game tomorrow. Malcolm and I will be on the big screen. Mark Packer's tweets on the small screen.
Do you want to know who's on the other end of the spectrum? The very bottom of this list? Because this is not the end that you want to be on. You want to be where Syracuse and Pitt are on this list.
But you don't want to be where?
Georgia Tech's the worst in the league. They are negative 41. 41. When they play an ACC game, the ACC teams that they played face-to-face have shot 41 more free throws than Georgia Tech. By the way, wow. NC State, you're second. So the two worst in the league
play tomorrow.
Play each other this weekend.
Wow.
Georgia Tech, NC State. And then you've got the game with two of the top three.
There you go.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We have made a mess today, but we're just getting started. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. Muffet McGraw, the outstanding coach at Notre Dame, will join us coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes. But right now we're joined by the one and only, one-third of those bald dudes on campus.
Bald men.
Yeah, that's it. Seth Greenberg, live in Lawrence, Kansas. Seth, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm under witness protection, but besides that, everything is good. I registered in the room on an alias, but life is good. If you thought you were in a mess before I got on, imagine when I come on, what a mess it is.
Well, I'm just glad they found a chair for you in Lawrence to sit down
and
do
this
interview. Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not Seth Greenberg speaking. Look, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it really is. And people say I'm overdramatic, but it's such a bad look on our game, and that's a bad look on what, you know, on college basketball. Kansas State is just as culpable as anyone, because I call them agitators. And let's get past this. But the agitator wasn't the steal, because that's a basketball play. The block wasn't an agitator. That's a basketball play. Everything else that happened after that, there was an agitator. Whether it was standing over the guy, the people leaving the bench, and then the melee. So anyway, I'll tell you what, the ACC Bald Men on Campus, by the way, today we're going to have a special guest on Bald Men on Campus.
Who's that?
And it's not one of you two semi-bald men, actually, Wes. You guys have full hair there. It's going to be Leonard Hamilton.
Oh! Another bold guy.
Like that.
38-year-old Leonard Hamilton.
Yeah, Leonard Hamilton, who hadn't turned 40. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I got one.
Makes us all feel terrible about ourselves.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, by the way, I texted you last Friday night. I enjoyed the half hour. It moved fast. You guys were funny. Billis was glib. LaFonso proved to be a good foil for you guys. And then all of a sudden, you know, he bit back a little bit, which was good. That was wildly entertaining half hour for you guys last Friday.
I know, we messed it all up. We thought if it wasn't entertaining, they'd take us off the air.
That's our line.
Yeah. So,
you know what? It's fun because it's like a podcast on TV and you know, there's no restrictions. If a segment goes over, it goes over.
Mm-hmm.
We had a blast. We really did.
I want to ask you about this weekend because Packer has deemed 4 through 15?
4 through 15.
As the glob. And this weekend,
so he'll use that line.
Yeah, he'll use that line. Yeah, that one's going to get used. You're going to use that tonight on Bald Men on Campus. By the way,
I'm going to give you guys credit. I'm going to give you.
Well, give Mark credit, Seth.
We're not looking for credit,
Seth. Give Mark credit. That's him, and you know how Pack is. So, here's the deal. If you were to pick a team in that group, I'm looking at like an NC State. I thought what Virginia Tech did the other night was pretty important, kind of where they're headed. Do you have a team that's just behind those three or maybe a couple rings down in the standings that you say, you know what, I can kind of see where this is starting to break for these guys?
Well, I can tell you where it isn't breaking for guys. So, like, it's not breaking for Notre Dame. It's not breaking for North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that Pitt-Syracuse game is a pivotal game for both of those guys. Like, I think Pitt is building a resume.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Syracuse, you know, getting road wins is important. Now, they have the home losses, but getting road wins. And more importantly, how Syracuse is getting them. They're getting consistent play from three players. And if they can get anything from their front court, all of a sudden they become a player. So I think as you look at the games, that game is as big as possible, as big as it gets. And then the other two guys that are in the conversation to me, you know, are Virginia Tech and NC State, and they can't afford a loss, even though it's on the road. They can enhance their position by winning a game on the road.
Seth, I think the NC State game to me is the one that jumps out because, number one, Georgia Tech has yet to win a home game in league play, which is hard to do. Notre Dame falls under that same category. But NC State's getting healthy. That win at Virginia the other night, they knocked down a bunch of doors. They hadn't won there in 100 years. They're starting to get healthy. They won a grinding game, which I think is always important. You guys find a way to win, especially after they blew the big lead. But NC State also has their arch rival, North Carolina, on Monday. Now, last week they played the Saturday-Monday game. They have to do the same thing this way. They cannot look ahead to their arch rival, North Carolina, and just expect to roll the ball out and beat Georgia Tech, a team who, by the way, beat them, it seems like, 500 years ago to start the season.
No, I totally agree with you, Pac. When I look at NC State and how they won the other day, I think the thing that impressed me the most is down the stretch, the seniors made plays. And if you're going to win, C.J. Bryce has to make a play. Markel Johnson has to make a play. And I thought that was as important as anything that happened in that game, that they showed the toughness to fight back, get back, and do the things. Look, it was ugly for a while there, man. I mean, like, they couldn't score. They couldn't get a good shot. They turned it over. They played too fast. I mean, everything that could negatively happen. On the other hand, Georgia Tech is getting better. Georgia Tech does have pieces. Alvarado's a piece. Moore's a piece. Banks. I mean, they've got guys that are emerging right now, and they play with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. But this is a game. Hopefully Manny Bates is back for NC State because it's an important game. Think about it. They'd be Virginia without Manny Bates.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's big. And Andre, you know, look, Andre's hit or miss because he comes off the bench and, you know, can he make a shot? If he makes a shot, you leave him in. If he doesn't, you know, you take him out. But that was a heck of a win. And that was the dagger for Virginia. I mean, you know, Virginia's just, end of a game, you put the ball in someone's hands. Keay Clark can't see over the defense. He can't finish a play. They're not good enough. But I think NC State, this is a huge game for them. And I think it's going to be a tough game. I just think Kevin's personality, you know, like some guy has a personality where, you know, he stays with his team and stays with the team and empowers them. He's going to have to be his very best to get his guys to understand the importance of this moment in time as they build their resume.
Seth, I want to jump to one thing here about these six teams behind the three we know about. And of these six, I think three of them are going to go to the NCAA tournament with Louisville, Florida State, and Duke. But I'm not sure what the most important component for those next three is, because every time I hear about defense, I talk to a coach who's an assistant in this league or a guy who's familiar with the league who tells me the teams that score are ultimately going to be the ones. All this defense we're making too much of is kind of what I'm hearing as of late.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because if you look at the rules are built for scoring. Now, if you talk to my man Billis, you'd say that freedom of movement is out and everyone's playing Kung Fu true fighting. Or if you listen to Coach K after the Louisville game and hear him saying, well, you know, what happened to freedom of movement? You know, I would say to Coach K, and in all due respect, I mean, Coach, seriously, all the teams I've played against for 8 years in the ACC, no one was more physical than your team, number one. Number two is, you guys gave up 79 points again those two games. It had nothing to do with the other team's defense. It had to do with your defense.
Mm-hmm.
having said that, I do think with the way the rules are, you got to make buckets. I mean, like yes, you got to make buckets, but you can't give seven. You can't give up 79 points like you did the other day. I mean, two games in a row. So I think it's a blend. Look, every game has its own personality. It depends on who you're playing against. You get 60 playing against Virginia, you're going to win. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, I mean, I think it's who you're playing that moment in time and the DNA of your team and the matchup. Everything in this thing is about matchups. Like when I was in the league, there was a while that we really struggled matching up against BC. We matched up better against Duke than BC. Sounds crazy, but we did. We finally cracked the code of dealing with that tight flex stuff, and we ended up our last four games going 2-2. But it really comes down to matchups, and as opposed to just offense or defense.
Seth, I want to go back to something you just said, just to make sure we are all on the same page. You mentioned about Virginia. Do you not get a sense that that's a team that can get on a run and get into the tournament, or do you think they're on the outside looking in?
Oh, they're on the outside looking in. I don't see Virginia's NCAA tournament team. I embrace the pace. I'm all about it. Play to your strengths, play to your system. Do what you do well and impose that on your opponent. They're just not good enough. I mean, it's plain and simple, not good enough. They have the length to defend and keep you in front and contest, and we saw that in the NC State game. But they don't have any way, when you're turning it over the way they're turning it over, and you're playing low possession games, and at the end of a short clock, because you're playing deep into the clock, you don't have a guy to go make a play, that's like a double whammy. I mean, it really is. That's like a double whammy. That's like, what do you call the bottom of the ACC again?
No, the 4 through 15 is the glob.
Yeah, that's the glob of winning a close game. Yeah, the glob will get you when you turn it over and you don't have a guy like Kia Clark. I love him; he's great as the third and fourth option. But as the number one option, and he's getting downhill driving it, and the court, and now all of a sudden he's got to score or make a pass of good size or finish at the rim. How many times did he get to the rim against NC State and couldn't finish?
Right, right.
And there was no Manny Bates. So I don't think they're not an NCAA tournament team. Hmm. And that's just, I mean, it's hard to say because they won a national championship. But that's what I see, you know, looking at their team and looking at the potential. I'm looking at the rest of their schedule. They still got killer games. Now they have opportunities. The crazy thing in this thing, as you guys know, can you remember a time where we're this far into the season, you look at the rest of the schedule, a team like Duke only plays one more game against a national ranked team?
Yeah, right. It's crazy.
Well, and that's because, I touched on this yesterday in talking to some folks on radio, Seth. I'll share this with you. We knew how the math worked on 16 conference games when it was in the ACC. You know, 8-8 occasionally, but 9-7 was pretty much a lock, right? We got a feel
for
the.
Don't tell that to me.
Well, I said pretty much.
I want 9, 10, and 11 to get in.
I know, but I said pretty much a lock. I remember who I was talking to. The other thing is we got a little bit of an understanding in the 18-game schedule of the math, but I don't think we have any feel at all for what 20 games is going to look like. And really, it's going to be a year or two. That's why it's easy to say Duke, Louisville, and Florida State. But if they're going to get as many as three more teams in the tournament, I don't think we know what that looks like yet based on what you're talking about, and that's scheduling, you know?
Yeah, and like the scheduling is, you know, I know when I was in the league, they tried to have a set rotation where you had your partners that you played, and then everything else rotated around, and obviously there's flexibility. Instead of what the Big East did back in the day was they would have, you'd have your partners, but then the Big East, what they would do is they'd say, all right, we need the best games. We need the so coming into the season, where are our potentially best games, our best matchups, our best ratings, the games that, you know, would resonate. And the league might have to look at that. 20 games. 20 games sounds good. It's great for TV. It's great for the ACC Network. It's great for bald men on campus. It's great for a lot of things. It's not as good as people think because it waters down the league and eliminates certain opportunities.
Yep. Thanks, as always. Appreciate the time. Safe travels this weekend. And don't forget, tonight, 9 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen, right here on ACC Network, the second installment of Bald Men on Campus. See LaFonso Ellis box out Jay Billis and Seth Greenberg for a half hour, and Leonard Hamilton with the fellas tonight Look forward to that at 9 o'clock on ACC Network and, of course, on the ESPN app. When we come back, we'll go to South Bend. Hall of Fame coach Muffet McGraw joins us.
Packer and Durham.
Let's bring on truly a great coach,
oh, yeah.
One of the best. Muffet McGraw joins us from South Bend, Indiana. Got the look. She told us it's not. It's almost 75 degrees in South Bend this morning.
I don't think she said it was 75. I think she said 35.
Yeah, 35 feels like 75.
Which is 75 in January. Is that right, Coach? Is 35 75
in January? That's
exactly
right. Yeah. That's what I thought. It is. I will say this. We missed you at the ACC tip-off because we had the first wave. You were part of the second wave. But it's good to do an interview with you with your voice because I remember the first time we interviewed Coach was literally 24 hours after winning the national championship, and the voice was shot. She was working on pure adrenaline, no sleep, was walking on water, had no voice. We still conducted a 15-minute interview with Coach. First of all, we always appreciate the time. You know, we played a clip of you the other day from the press conference, and it was very telling in the sense that, you know what, you can draw up all the plays you want, X and O, try to hit all the right buttons, but eventually players have to make plays. And I know that going into this season, we knew the percentage of scoring and all the rebounding that you lost from a year ago. But just to see you go through that from the emotional standpoint, Coach, I got to tell you something. It was hard to watch because I know that you want to win and you want to get everybody in the right spot. And I can only imagine what you're going through this year. And again, I know it's going to, the next wave of great players is coming and you'll be back to doing Notre Dame things. But I mean, the emotion of this year for you physically, mentally, everything else, how would you describe it?
Well, I think it has been hard to watch. I think the games are hard to watch, which is really what's been frustrating for us right now. But, you know, I think everybody goes through a tough time in their life, whether it's in sports or whether it's just in your life. There's so many times you're going to hit adversity. We've hit so many bumps in the road over the years. We've been able to bounce back our championship team, you know, four ACLs, more ACLs than losses. So this year, losing two key players early, I think that was devastating to us because we only had two players returning that had any experience whatsoever. And to lose a player because of blood clots in her lungs, to lose another player because of a knee injury in the first game of the season, you've just lost all your experience. So now you've got five freshmen. So it's really been a challenge for me to go back to teaching, to be impatient, to keeping it simple. How can I help them? How can I make it easier for them? And that, you know, that's been something that I really can do a better job of, I think, working on the fundamentals, trying to figure out with this team, you know, what is our best offense? What's our best look?
It's interesting. You were kind enough to let the ACC Network kind of dive in to what this offseason was like for your program. And I remember watching the show and then hearing your comments in October when you were here for the tip-off and kind of thinking, here's the echo of the first time I've told you this years ago. I saw you coach in the women's NIT in Amarillo, Texas, in a half-filled Cal Farley Coliseum. I think it was your second year at Notre Dame, maybe, back in the late 80s. And now you kind of, in some ways, in a coaching life, you always return to kind of those core values, don't you? The core ideas of why you took that job and why you go through this. Is that some of the reflection you're having this year, too?
Oh, absolutely. I thought this summer was so much fun because we're going from a team that, you know, with veteran teams, you're expected to be in the Final Four. You have to win every game. That's the stress and the pressure of being really good. You have to win every game. So to take that back and now look at a brand new team and think, how are we going to mold these guys into what we have become, an elite program? How long is it going to take us to get there? What do I have to do to help them get there? How can I relieve some of the burden, on them of keeping up with the expectations that our program has? And that's I think, where the big problem is. I think expectations, I think the weight of looking at where we should be and where we want to be and where we've been, it's kind of unfair to look at five brand-new players and say, this is what you have to aspire to.
I know there's always a pressure on teams, too. I mean, for players to go, hey, there's a reason I go to Notre Dame is, number one, a great academic institution, and also the standard by which you have set. And when you're having one of these kind of years, I know it's pressure on the student athlete to go, oh my gosh, you know, everybody expects us to be in the Final Four. But what about for you, Coach? I mean, how do you get away from the burden of saying, man, we got, I mean, that one extra pass, or hey, we should do this in the zone, or whatever the combination may be. How do you get away from the pressures and the strain of everyday life as a head coach with those kind of expectations?
Well, apparently I haven't found the answer to that yet. I think that's something that I've really, you know, been struggling with. And I think the biggest problem is you've got to lower the bar. And I am almost incapable of lowering the bar, of saying, you know, this team is not going to be a Final Four team. And to, I think, come at it with reality when the team is thinking, we're going to be better. We're going to be a good team. We can win some games. We can go undefeated at home. We can, you know, we can come in the top, and get a bye in the ACC tournament. And so it's hard as a coach to look at what they think and say, no. We're not going to be able to achieve that. So, you know, in the beginning, of course, we had a full roster, so it was a little different. I thought, you know, maybe we can do this, but we're not talking about seeding in the tournament. We're talking about just getting to the tournament. And, you know, it's a whole different feeling for me, and one that I don't think I've had it. Well, I've not been in this position in quite some time. So it really gives you great appreciation. First of all, I'm so grateful and thankful for what we've had. Don't think I appreciated that enough. And, would like to continue to watch film of last year's team and just have some good memories.
Coach, do you change the daily goals of accomplishments? I mean, obviously everybody starts the season thinking, hey, we're going to get to the Final Four, we're going to win a national championship, we're going to win the ACC. How did you have to adjust your season in which daily goals became maybe a little bit different, something you can attain to start creating this self-confidence for a club?
Well, that's the big issue is confidence. That you make a great point there. I think especially in the women's game, these players are talented, but until they have success, they can't feel the confidence. We had a win the other day, and you would thought we won the national championship. It was almost like the entire burden off our shoulders. But I think it's really been tough. It's been tough for them coming in. I think we have definitely changed our goals. We're looking at now after the game. We remembered to get into the press on a dead ball. Wow, that was awesome. You know, we've got some small goals. Everybody's in the same defense. We're all on the same page on offense. But we're going back to the fundamentals. We got to set better screens. We got to use screens. We've got to communicate. Communication is probably one of the biggest things a young team struggles with.
I know you've had a week off after the win at home against Miami last Sunday. You're at Virginia Sunday at 2:00 on ACCNX. And that is a stretch of where 3 of 4 are on the road, but it's not just your normal 3 of 4. I mean, you get Louisville, you get Georgia Tech in there, certainly Virginia on Sunday before you work your way back home for Pittsburgh. In the essence of where this league is, and now you've been in it long enough to digest this, take me through your impressions of where this league is. We know who's good, but we also see a lot of contenders. I mean, I watched games last night that were surprising. I mean, it seems like this thing's got as many twists and turns as really the men's side does this year in some ways.
It really does. I don't think there's a clear cut. I think Louisville and NC State are in the top 10. I think they are definitely two teams that are really kind of rising above everyone else. But I think that there's so much parity from top to bottom. You see great games every night. Anybody can beat anybody, especially at home. I think it's a league where who knows how many teams will get in the tournament, because when it comes down to it, I think everything's up in the air right now.
As somebody that built the women's basketball brand nationally, not only in this league have you guys done an unbelievable job, but you built it nationally. This sport has really created its own momentum here in the last decade or so. And this league in particular has gotten better by the arrival of schools like Notre Dame and people like that. Do you sense the sport is getting more popular year after year now in some ways?
Oh, I think it's gotten much better. And I think that the talent in the ACC is the best league in women's basketball over the last couple of years. And I think that nationally, we're finally seeing parity, which is an awesome thing for women's basketball. You're going to see so many more fans attracted to the game because you don't know who's going to win. I think every game is going to be a struggle for teams when they go on the road. You look at what's happened so far. It's probably the first year in 30 years that we've had different teams at number one. We've had, I think, 3 or 4 teams at number one, and you're kind of wondering, I wonder who's going to be number one next week after you see some of the losses. So I think it's a great thing for the game.
Coach, all right. By the way, I just want to let you know, I mean, you've been such a great coach. Things are going to be okay. This is just from us to you. Now, I know you want to win more games. You don't ever want to lose a game in your life. I get all that.
Yeah.
But you know what? The way you recruit, what you're selling, what you've accomplished, you know what?
You're good,
life,
Pack.
Is going to be okay.
There
so just
go.
Deep breath. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay, Coach. Yeah.
Thanks. Well, you know, I had a great phone call the other night from Roy Williams, and it was like, I just want to let you know, you're not the only one going through a tough time right now, and we both know we've been there. We're going to get back.
Right, well, exactly, and right. I was going to say this because I know where Roy's outlet is. He's got golf, and I'm well aware of what he'll do. He'll recruit and think about it, but he'll think about it trying to make birdie putts, right? In your case, there's this flower garden, right, behind your house that we saw on the Access show. Dude, I mean, it's 35 degrees today. You haven't played since Sunday. I know the game plan's in for Virginia. Do we spend a little time in the backyard today kind of talking to the flowers and maybe they talk back to you a little bit?
Boy, that'd be nice. But no, I'm gonna go recruiting and try to keep finding some good players for the next few years.
It's in the DNA. We know how you do it.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it very much. Good luck Sunday at Virginia.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Muffet McGraw, outstanding. Just, that was a blast.
She's
come on,
such
right?
a great coach. And this is one of those blips on the radar. And don't feel sorry for Notre Dame. They are going to be back, and they're going to be a problem for everybody before you know it. She is such a great coach.
Just like Carolina, right?
I don't worry. The McDonald's All-American team was announced.
Yeah.
There is to the rescue, and the same thing with Notre Dame women's basketball. They will be back.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Packer and Durham.
What's happened to my cake?
Fuller's enjoyed at least two, maybe three slices during the last 45 minutes.
Dog has crushed my cake.
It's pretty good, though. Gotta admit. All right, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program as we come to the final
segment.
Man,
what a show.
It's been fun, man. Happy birthday, Wes.
Thanks, Pack.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
A birthday show should be fun.
It is fun. Great card. You guys gave me a great card. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Otto, Robert.
Jeff Collins brought Bowberry Biscuits for his 1 hour in here.
Yeah. He also had a shout out to his Waffle House boys just to keep the balance because he's a Waffle House guy, even though he was smart enough to bring a proud sponsor, Bojangles Biscuits.
Yeah.
Those were swallowed whole too.
Do you want to hit the weekend menu before we get to the swag?
While we're doing the Bojangles thing, let's do the Bojangles weekend.
Right here, let's do it. Right here, we'll hold the Bowberry Biscuits up.
Not too high, because Fuller saw them.
That's right, and Fuller will want all those. And ladies and gentlemen, you gotta love the symmetry of the show. Here's the weekend menu brought to you by Bojangles. We got wrestling tonight.
I like this.
North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Sean Kinney. Rock Harrison will be there for you, 7 o'clock right here on ACC Network. Ball Men on Campus follows that. Men's basketball doubleheader tomorrow. Malcolm Huckabee and I will be at the Dome in Central New York. The Fighting Josh Macri's host Pittsburgh on the anniversary of Jerome Lane breaking the backboard.
I like it.
Notre Dame at Florida State tomorrow night is the primetime game here on ACC Network. And then you get three ladies games that follow Virginia and Wake Forest at noon. You get Miami at Florida State. You get Pittsburgh at Louisville. You get Carolina State. And what a rematch that'll be at a sellout at Reynolds Coliseum in Valvano Arena in Raleigh at 6 o'clock Sunday night here on ACC Network. That's the Bojangles weekend menu. All right. You want to go to the phones first?
Let's go to the phones. We have a special guest at 844-SAY-ACCN.
ACC student.
Yes, currently a student at Florida State University. Please sign in and state your name, please.
Hi, this is Emily Durham, daughter of Wes Durham.
This is my oldest daughter, my oldest child, by 3 minutes.
That's what happens when you get twins.
Yeah. Yeah, this is my oldest child by 3 minutes over her twin brother, Will. This is my daughter, Emily, who is has been reported on this show, is graduating from Florida State on Saturday, May the 2nd. Yes.
And, you know, Emily, we were very, very excited about you joining us at the Kentucky Derby on Saturday instead of doing graduation. We are thrilled that you've decided that the diploma can wait and a mint julep in each hand to celebrate this big festive accommodation and the celebration in play.
That's not happening, Emily.
You know, I only wish, but sadly I promised President John Thrasher, our president here, that I would be crossing the stage. So looks like I might have to make a rain check on the Kentucky Derby this year.
Well, we have good news for you because we are going to build a stage where we're going to do the show.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
Pack,
and we're going to allow you to walk across it, wave to the president, blow kisses, and then party like a rock star as a graduate of Florida State University.
Wow.
Emily, did you call or wish your dad?
I also promised my dad.
Yeah. Did you?
I also promised you I'd go. But
yeah. Did you promise to? Did you call us today to promise your dad a happy birthday or something?
Yes, I did. That was the purpose of the call, was to say happy birthday. Tomorrow it's going to be very exciting.
Yeah. Can't wait for 54.
I will be celebrating. Yeah. I mean, hey, you don't look like it. Maybe you can pull Leonard Hamilton. Do well.
No, don't lie to your father like that. Anyway, seriously, don't lie. You know, Coach Hamilton is 70-some years old, looks like he's 38. Your dad can't pull off 38. Come on now. Be nice to your dad. Oh, he's okay with it.
I am. But I'll be celebrating your birthday tomorrow by going to that primetime basketball game of FSU versus Notre Dame. Nice. So there you go. Mm-hmm.
You know why? You know why she's going to the basketball game, Pax?
She wants to hang out with Leonard Hamilton.
Because they're a basketball school.
That's exactly. Well, they hope the football is to return, right now hoops is pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, you're very sweet. You know I love you. I'm proud of you. And thank you for calling. You're very kind. I hope you have a great day. And you're our third Florida State guest in a week. We have Mike Norvell and Coach Hamilton and now my daughter.
Yep. Emily, hey, we'll see you in the Derby. We'll see you at the Derby.
I'll see you there. I'll see you in Kentucky.
There you go.
No,
you're thinking.
No, we're not there doing that. Go. Bye, Emily. Love you. Okay. All right.
Bye. Happy birthday.
Thank you, sweetie. All right. Now to the packages.
And what happened to Will? He just decided to blow you off? Well. Because she really is your favorite kid.
No, stop.
Is that how it works?
Really? Is that what I'm going to tell Gigi and Emerson, too?
They know.
They know who.
They know that their mom's opinion's the only one that matters.
That's exactly right. Well, in this case, you never know. All right.
We have a gift or two.
All right. You want to read this? This is fascinating.
This was sent, and I apologize if I mess up the name, from a guy by the name of Tom Burkett.
Yeah.
Or Burkett. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure. Right, Fuller? That's it. Fuller's wanting for his third piece of birthday cake. He says, goes through a long story. He says, I'm giving you this one-of-a-kind item to be displayed in your studio/basement. Truly a collector's item since it's handmade and the only one in existence. This is wishing you both health and prosperity and longevity with this program. Yours very truly from Tom, a fan. He goes, by the way, P.S., hardest class I had in college was classical archaeology.
Yeah. Tom, a football letter winner at North Carolina, sent us a handmade crafted wooden football for the basement.
There it is.
That's awesome.
All right.
Really appreciate that, right?
That will be displayed. But again, we get all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I got something in the mail yesterday from a fan.
Okay.
Which is ironic that it's North Carolina.
I know.
Because this thing was sent to me, and I had no idea what it was. You know, we get stuff, we open it up, we don't know what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a T-shirt that apparently is now out that says, undefeated in Chapel Hill since 2019, Clemson basketball. How about that? They're selling these, apparently.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, I don't care who you are. That's funny.
That is funny.
When you're 0-59, that's funny. You deserve one of these, I guess. There it is.
Do we have the Star of the Week video queued up, by the way? Here it is. And this is our Star of the Week. This is going to become a Friday staple on this show.
Who's this dude?
This is on BBC Sport, and this is like the World Bocce Ball Championship of the Galaxy.
Bocce ball.
Look at this. Got to get close to the yellow. I'll split you right there.
Get out of here with that.
Yeah. How about that, huh? I don't even know who that guy is, and I don't care. You know why? He is a boss.
You know what else is amazing?
What's that?
It's announced thereafter that the whole thing was rigged.
Stop.
By the way, with the over and under, if you're keeping score today on the show, the over and under on the amount of slices of birthday cake that Fuller was going to eat.
Holy cow.
If you had the number 3, you would be a winner. He's about ready to put off the third piece of birthday cake.
Boy, did Chester miss the day today.
Bad day to take a day off.
Bad
Chester.
Day to go get grooming, I can tell you that. Where do we start? Thanks to Jeff Collins, Mike Waters, Muffet McGraw, Seth Greenberg, my daughter Emily called in.
Nice.
Thanks to Tony Roby, the coach of Virginia Tech, wrestling tonight.
ACC Friday Night Wrestling. I like the concept. And you and I have got to make an appearance at one of these events. I'm just telling you.
We'll get that scheduled right on up.
Yep.
We'll go to some ACC wrestling.
I think it'd be
not
a blast.
Wrestling, wrestling.
I think it'd be a blast.
That's exactly right. Robert, thank you. Otto, thank you.
We ought to get Ric Flair on here for a Friday show.
Is that what you think?
Why wouldn't we?
Great.
Nate can break it down for us.
Yeah, Greco-Roman style.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC.
Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.